Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer, and I am joined by my delightful and very cooperative co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hey, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Nice to cooperate with you, too.
You know, I love that word co, right? It's a cooperate, that prefix, cooperate, co-create, collaborate. We say that so much on our show. So, lovely to be with you in your company, which also begins with a C-O. Listeners, we are going to continue our month-long topic, which is our discussion on our month-long topic, which is cooperation. It's been such a really wonderful, interesting month, and love that we had Thanksgiving there. You know, it is a holiday of hopefully gratitude in the ways in which we cooperate and various parts come together and share. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. So, Dorothy, today we're going to talk about strengthening our ability to cooperate. I personally love, and I know you do too, love when it gets really practical, when we can just tell our listeners, you know, here you go. Here are ways in which you can strengthen your ability to cooperate. So I look forward to the show. I think it's going to be very helpful and meaningful.
Great. Great. I've got a couple of quotes to start us off, Steve.
Wonderful.
The first is from Nelson Mandela. He wrote, "If you want to make peace with your enemy, you have to work with your enemy. Then he becomes your partner." Mm. And I'm reminded of the economic dynamic that, you know, if you want a real resolution to a conflict, to a war, then afterwards nations trade with each other. They work together cooperatively. And then the second quote is from William Butler Yeats. He writes, "There are no strangers here, only friends you haven't yet met."
Aww.
And that to me gets back to something we talked about last week in terms of, you know, when you meet someone on a person-to-person basis, it's very difficult to objectify them in the way that you can when you think about them as part of an amorphous group.
Yes, that's beautiful. That warmed my heart. only friends you haven't met yet, or only friends that you haven't gotten to know better, you know?
Yes.
Because you can meet someone, and if you consider, you know, I can remember the times that I've met someone who for the first time, and they say, "Hey, friend." It's so beautiful. It's such a wonderful sentiment, you know, or thanks, mm-hmm. friend. It's beautiful. I like mm-hmm. it. Thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, in order to cooperate or collaborate, we've got to see each other and respect each other for who we are. We mentioned that last week, that respect is such an important aspect of cooperation. It not only generates respect to cooperate, because we really get to know each other. We work together and we start to respect the way in which somebody might come at a situation, or even we respect that their, if we can bring ourselves to respect that their view is different. But even in having that dialogue, you know, it generates either cooperation, or the cooperation generates respect. It's quite nice, mm-hmm. that interplay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there's a basic concept underlying this that we may not think about consciously very much, and that is we are all indeed unique human beings. We each have our own soul's purpose for being here. We have our own life experience in this life, and if we believe in continuity of consciousness, in other lives as well. And so we may overlap, we may be familiar to each other or seem similar in some ways, but we're not going to be similar in all the ways. So there's nobody out there who's a carbon copy of us. And it's critical to be able to respect differences because we have differences from everyone, even those that we are most intimate with.
Indeed. Tapestry. It is a tapestry, if you will. Indeed.
That's right. That's right. And I don't know if you have this experience, Steve, but I do have the experience from time to time with someone that I think I know really, really well. And then they'll say something which demonstrates that they have quite a different perspective on something where I thought we held exactly the same view or the same value. And it's a shock, right?
Yeah.
That there is that difference. And one of the things that I find so interesting is being able to find those similarities and differences in all of the people that I have the opportunity to interact with.
Or even to just become curious about their different approach, about that which is very different than you, as opposed to seeing it as an opposition, that there is only one way to react or be. Goodness gracious, my partner and I, we could not be more different. In fact, I often laugh in my mind. We work together and we're often in a kitchen where the chef's at the retreat center. And I will look at a situation and I will just be thinking a thought, I'm going to do it this way. And my partner is often very quick to act. He's very fast. And he will always, as soon as I lock down on the way I'm going to do it, he will say out loud, I'm doing it this way, and it's always the opposite way that I would do it. Always. And as soon as I say it, he will present the opposite. And what I have learned, you know, because I love him so much and I find him so interesting, that it has showed me that you can be very curious about the different ways that someone would approach someone, you know, and that it doesn't have to always be your way. You know, it's not always a win or lose situation if it's your way or somebody else's ways, but just to be curious and say, oh, let's try it that way. And then maybe the next time say, hey, know that you better not just think it. You better say it out loud.
Right, exactly.
The cooperation doesn't necessarily mean even that you have to blend two opposites into a new way, but cooperation can be allowing, being curious, supporting a very different way than your own, you know?
That's right, and they can be complementary to each other.
Yes.
You know, the national motto of Indonesia I've always liked, it's unity in diversity. So the recognition that we can come together, we can work towards a common goal, we can cooperate for a common purpose, it doesn't mean that we are all in the same place or coming from the same place, but in fact we can make that diversity a strength of ours.
Well, and you would like to think that that was the idea behind the United States of America, that each state was unique, but they are united as being a part of this country. Yeah, you'd like to think that that is the goal as well.
But you have to be willing to accept that there's no one right way, right? That there are many, many ways of doing life. One of the things that I am extremely grateful for was that I had the opportunity, or it was thrust upon me, to live in three very different cultures before I was 5 years old. So we went from the United States to China to India. And each of those cultures has a very different worldview. And I may have given some of these examples before, but I think that they're very telling. In Chinese, anything that you can assume about when something takes place doesn't need to be said. It's what's known as a high context language and culture, where the context dictates. So, for example, if you can tell that something happened in the past, you don't need to use the past tense verb in order to indicate that. In India, there's a great emphasis on hospitality. Not that there's not in other cultures, but it's reflected linguistically in sayings like, when someone knocks on the door, the literal translation of what you call out is not, "I'm coming." What you say is, "I am already there," right? Yeah. Indicating how important it is for you to be with the person who is coming in. So it's, I've had the opportunity professionally to work in 86 countries. Wow. And as I've engaged with each culture, that whole, as you said, that curiosity, you know, of trying to understand how it is that people understand their world, what it is that they value, how they live their lives with each other. And they're all different in some way, and they're all doing fine. So it's a real lesson in diversity.
And all existing here on this one planet, you know, that's what's amazing mm-hmm. to me when you travel to another culture, is you really do realize that you have so much, there are so many differences in the way you go about things, but you're all going about the same things. You're really mm-hmm. all human. And that's what makes it's so curious, you know, to travel to another culture and another language. Boy, do you want to flex your cooperation muscle? Go to a country where you don't speak their language, you find yourself cooperating quite a bit in order to get by. Dorothy, we're going to go to our first break. So listeners, we hope you'll continue this conversation with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. And this is a tip with purpose. Being wrong or making mistakes is human. What have you learned from it? Start laughing about the silly things you did. Yeah, laugh about it. Being happy is more important than being always right. Start listening to your feedback. Be willing to redefine yourself every day. Communication with yourself and others who already are successful in their lives. Stay balanced. And when you fall off the wagon, don't dwell on it. Just hop back on. Forgive yourself. Admit what you did. Move on and smile. I hope this tip helps you. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's S-H-A-L-O-H-A productions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat. and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to Spirit Fire Radio, which indeed is a collaboration, a cooperative endeavor between two organizations, those being Spirit Fire and the School for Esoteric Studies. And Dorothy and I are here representing those. Dorothy, would you like to say a few words about the School for Esoteric Studies?
Yes, thanks, Steve. So you can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net. We're an educational nonprofit providing training to persons who have a spiritual practice that they wish to deepen. And we complement that work with several group initiatives. One of them, which we started several years ago, was to purposely reach out to like-minded organizations to collaborate on some kind of project. And as Steve mentioned, Spirit Fire Radio is the result of our working with Spirit Fire, which we're delighted about. But I want to just mention one other initiative that we have just launched and that we are working with other organizations actively on. We call it Inclusive Social Action, and it is identifying and developing ways to say no to harm that is being done. In other words, to stand up and say, this is not okay, in a way that does not create further divisiveness. That's the challenge. And so we have a white paper called Inclusive Social Action, which you can find on our website at esotericstudies.net. I would invite you to read it. And if you individually or if your organization is interested in working with us to develop and expand this concept, please be in touch.
Thanks, Dorothy. I am here on behalf of Spirit Fire. Our mission is to cultivate consciousness and educate people on the importance of spirituality in their everyday lives. We do that primarily through meditation on a meditation practice, our own, called the Practice of Living Awareness. And that is an online meditation practice. It is free. It's 14 steps, 14 weeks. It's a whole package that we roll through three times a year. We're on our third round of meditations now, but they're all available by podcast and by recording online. And then we've got a meditation center in Western Massachusetts where we host meditation retreats that support that practice and other programs as well. We also have online classes. You can find out all about Spirit Fire at spiritfire.com. And we, too, are so thrilled by this collaboration. It's just been wonderful. And you know, as we see when we cooperate and collaborate, great things come. You know, you create new things, which is you grow personally and you also create newness. So it's been a wonderful experience. Dorothy, one thing I wanted to bring up was we've mentioned trust quite a bit, that cooperation not only generates trust when you are learning to cooperate with another, but that it is necessary to trust another. And we've mentioned plenty of times, especially last week, there was a little segment on social media and ways that it on some ways it connects us to people, and in other ways we can sense a disconnect. I find that there's so much to social media these days that has to do with commenting and criticizing and comparing. So we really have to watch where our thoughts or our actions actually put us in a bit of resistance mode in that we are not cooperating, that we actually are, we are creating divisions through our comments or through labeling or criticizing. And I think we can come to learn ways in which we can build trust by looking at ways that we actually negate that, you know, that we're in resistance to trust. So a few things that I came up with was just that, you know, it, watching one's mind when we're labeling somebody negatively, or when there's judgment or criticism, when there's harm through our thoughts or words towards another, or minimizing another person's feelings. You know, if somebody is talking about the way they feel, and you say, "Oh, come on, you shouldn't feel that way." There's so many subtle ways in which someone is reaching out and trying to build trust with us, and we kind of subliminally, or we might not even unconsciously not be supporting that, or you know, using you statements, you know, "You make me feel this way," watching things like that, they're not helping to generate that trust. Speaking in a way that, observing our language in ways that we might be using condescension or sarcastic language that could make somebody feel a distance from us. Interrupting somebody while they're talking. We've talked quite a bit about when somebody is telling you, sharing a situation with you, or they might need help, and we're quick to want to fix or to feel that we have to interject our, you know, our thoughts, our ways in which we can see that situation being alleviated. So building trust by allowing another is so important.
Any Absolutely.
Thoughts? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, you mentioned the not using you statements, so we can emphasize the opposite of that, which is to use I statements. So owning where we're coming from and how we're feeling, and simply, you know, making it clear that we're listening. It's interesting that other languages have ways of explicitly conveying that. Like in Chinese, there's a saying, "Ting Wu Dong," which means, "I hear you, but I don't understand you," as a way of recognizing that the other person is speaking. And, you know, one of the things that we miss in social media is eye contact. You were talking before, I think last week, about, you know, the eyes are the windows to the soul. They are one of the important energetic ways in which we make connection.
Well, also, Dorothy, on that topic is beaming and gleaming. Have you heard of that? You know, it's that.
No.
It's the connection that mothers make with their child, with an infant, that is so important in their, you know, in a balanced emotional nature, and in them creating that very intimate connection, which is to have a kind face, to look someone in the eyes with a kind face. Of course, a mother's gestures toward her infant are going to be filled with that that look and feeling of love and intimacy, but that it's so important, certainly between those connections between mother and child. Children who don't receive that from their mother, you know, often grow up with a feeling of isolation. And I feel that we can use that even in our adult life, that if we have a kind face, we look someone in the eyes and we smile, you instantly feel a bit more cooperative, that there is that connection. You feel at ease with somebody. So definitely eye contact is very important.
Another thing that is oftentimes not recognized but is absolutely critical is being willing to assume the best intentions. Now, you may at the same time recognize that there's a possibility that the person does not have the best intentions. But I don't know if you've been in this situation, Steve. I've been in it where it's like you can't do anything right because the filter that people see you through is a complete misinterpretation of what your intentions are. And so while your intentions may be kindness, respect, and a willingness to cooperate, they're seen through a filter that assumes that what you're trying to do is to somehow get the better of the other person. And then what do you do? I mean, there's no way out kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it's always acknowledging the other. I find that, you know, that even if you sense that somebody has you wrong, you know, is not quite understanding you, to ask them to say, hey, you know, could you sort of explain where you're coming from? Or if you feel that there is not cooperation happening, to acknowledge it, you know, to say, let's go around at this again, you know, to make sure that other person is at the table with you, and that there's sort of ground that you can, you know, that ground is fertile for the two of you to come together and find common ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I also think it's important to acknowledge other people when they're doing good. Like building trust has so much to do with celebrating another. You know, we often mm-hmm. will assume that idea of assuming someone's intentions. Also, just assume that someone knows that we're feeling great about what they're doing. It's also great to go out of your way to say, oh, I really enjoyed that part of the conversation where, you know, you brought this forward. If you're in group discussion, or you're trying to collaborate, or I really appreciate this aspect, or you're absolutely right about that, or you know, even if you don't agree, to say, you know, I appreciate your point of view. Is it possible that we could look at this aspect of it? Always mm-hmm. important to acknowledge what somebody brings to the table. That certainly helps in building trust and creating that collaborative feel.
Right. And I even one of the things that I try to remember to do, which I think helps increase a person's willingness to be helpful, is to if somebody has been helpful to me, I'll say, you know, you've made my day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What you've done has really made a difference to me. And it sounds so simple, and yet it means so much.
It is the small things that are the big things. That is something I have learned in my many years on this planet. It's the small things that are the big things. You know, I also makes me think I was so many years of running a pub, a bar in the West Village of New York City. And I'm tiny. I'm not even 5'7". And we would have these big 6'2", huge bouncers. And I would watch, you know, these scuffles, you know, would always happen, and disagreements and tensions would raise. And the bouncers just wouldn't seem to be able to make this situation, bring it under control. And it was always me that had to come out and fix the situation. And I always found that it was kindness, it was understanding, it was letting somebody know, you know, I know where you're coming from. I don't like it when that happens either. I wouldn't like it if somebody was talking to me that way. You know, finding something in common with them, not saying, here's the way this situation is going to change right now, but let's work together in making this situation better than it is now. Like, how are you feeling now? It looks like you're not feeling so good. Let's try to work on that. And they always come around, you know, they would always come around, and these bouncers, these 6'2 bouncers would look down at me and go, oh man, you know, you always do that. You know, kindness and understanding go a long way.
Absolutely.
Dorothy, we're already at another break. Listeners,
Oh my goodness.
We'll be right back after these words.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. My goal is to help you to reach your goal. And this is a tip with purpose. Everybody wants it, and nobody has enough of it. But it comes to a point that you have to tell yourself, I can get more. I want more. I deserve more. I'm talking about money. More money, more money, more money. That's what people want. But what has to be done? Your thoughts have to change. That you can allow yourself to tell yourself, I have money and I want more money. How much money? What is it? Put it out there. Write it down. What would you do with more money? how would you feel to have more money? I hope this tip helps you going through the day to day. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at SwissHypnotherapy.com.
Are you your story? Or can you change your story? Can you change what you believe to be true about yourself and your circumstances as part of your healing journey? What if you were to change your expectations? What if you were to invite ease and cooperation into every day and then step back and see what happens? It might just be easier. I'm Megan Edge, and I hope that you'll join me on my new radio show, Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host Dr. Pat on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
Want to find out more about Megan Edge? Visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com. Welcome back, listeners, to Spirit Fire Radio. We're going to continue our discussion on strengthening your ability to cooperate. Dorothy, you know, it helps to just be around new people, right? It helps to be around people who are different than us. So, you know, I find one way to strengthen that, collaboration, cooperation muscle is just to put yourself in a different situation. Put yourself around people that aren't just like you. And then work, exercise, you know, exercise those collaboration muscles and just try to work amongst that difference, staying curious, but also as you have said, expanding the circle of care. So reaching out beyond groups that you're really so familiar with can be a good way to just practice that, huh?
Absolutely. If we think about when we talk about integration, we often talk about, in spiritual terms, we also often talk about vertical integration, you know, integrating with the soul. But actually what we can think of as horizontal integration, reaching out further and further beyond our most immediate group where we feel, you know, very seen and heard, and getting to know others, caring about them. That to me is what that expanding that circle of care is, being inclusive in the people that matter to us it would be nice if we expanded it to all of humanity, to include non-human persons, to include the earth. But really thinking expansively that way. And I wanted to give an example. Some people may already be aware of it from the news, but the Saturday after the massacre at the Pittsburgh synagogue in Toronto, at one of the Toronto synagogues, there was a group of people came together from various religious traditions, various Christian denominations, Sikhs, Buddhists, Hindus, all together, and they formed a physical ring of peace around the Toronto synagogue. they've physically stood shoulder to shoulder in demonstration of the fact that they would not let the people inside the synagogue come to harm, that they were standing with them, that they cared about them. And I thought that it was such a beautiful image, the ring of peace.
Beautiful, and such an immediate response in that too. You know, it was, it really came from that just spark of the human heart, and you could feel the power of that. Quite beautiful. And there's so much to physically being there, you know, that it really is about meeting someone face to face. It is really about, getting together with somebody and working together physically, that really shifts, brings that altruistic nature to the forefront. I came across a really important, or really interesting, I would say important as well, number that says there was a study that says that so many people are actually moving away from social media. And I saw this statistic that said 68% of people took a break or quit social media in the past year, which is a pretty big number if you think about it. It seems we've reached that point where we're realizing that actually at one point we thought we were connecting to each other through social media, but people felt that they were isolated, there was an addictive quality to it, and they wanted to get out and actually be with people who weren't digital. You know, they weren't just learning about their lives digitally, that they were actually experiencing other people. And they found that being on social media over time was taking too much real person, in-person time away from them. And along with that, statistics was that Facebook lost 4 million users in Europe last year. That's as a total, that there were 4 million less at the end of the year than there were at the beginning, and that Facebook membership has plateaued in the U.S. So I think that says something about this idea of us wanting to actually be with other people in the flesh. You know, that we can learn about somebody from looking at their vacation pictures and exchanging hellos, but there's really something quite meaningful to creating, collaborating, being with another person. It doesn't compare to the digital.
Well, and there's also, there can be an avoidance of or a loosening of moral ties, so to speak. I was reflecting on, you know, there was a news item last week about a child bride being auctioned off on Facebook.
Oh.
And I was just thinking, you know, if this was happening in person in a U.S. community, would the community have allowed this to happen?
Right.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, law enforcement, for example, would step in. But on Facebook, it was, it was just fine.
Yeah, it keeps it on that mental plane, you know. It doesn't make it real. And so, you know, there's some way that it just stays an idea, whereas if we were presented with this face-to-face, you know, we would actually feel that in our body, that there was harm and that this was somehow wrong and that somebody's rights were not being respected. But yeah, when it's digital, when it's on a screen, you somehow can just look at it, have an opinion about it, maybe even type an opinion about it. But you're not actually involved. You're not actually a part of a process of social change, which is what, you know, you have mentioned, School for Esoteric Studies working on this quite a bit, is, you know, how do we engage? How do we engage in the physical? I think that has so much to do with this idea of expanding our circle of care. It's how do we actually implement that into our everyday lives so that we can see, you know, harmlessness prevail? Yeah.
Absolutely. And so, the expanding the circle of care means that we, it's not just our family, it's not just our community, it's beyond that. It's, and one of the challenging things to me, Steve, is if we go back to the first principle that we talked about on this show, interconnectivity, and we really absorb the fact that we are all part of a huge cosmic energy field. And so from that perspective, we are all connected to each other. Then how can we not care about those that we are literally energetically connected to?
Yeah.
And how do we deal with the fact that there are people that we are energetically connected to and related to who are actively engaged in harm? It's very challenging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We mentioned last week the wildfires in California and that being even an opportunity just as a human being to help somebody that is so in need. And it was just so shocking even watching the news to see in this moment of where you wanted to see our leadership really show that there was care for the mm-hmm. situation. And what you saw with certain politicians was, a criticism of the way you're going about things is actually, wrong and helped to generate this situation. And so, goodness gracious, we see in this day and age ways in which it's shocking that we don't experience that innate interconnectedness, and that my actions, my words, my thoughts, will affect you. And mm-hmm. yeah, I find that really brought it out in me that oh goodness, to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, and how can I in acknowledging that we are connected, that I can help here. What can I do?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it was just to me heart-wrenching that the President of the United States could go there and not even remember the name of the community that got burnt to the ground, that twice he had to be corrected because he couldn't even be bothered to remember who it was that had been affected, what that community was.
Well, and so sort of shock and disdain on the people's faces on that certain newsreel that you realize at least we're all on the same page and realizing that that's quite absurd. Yeah.
It's not just absurd. I mean, it's completely disrespectful.
Yeah. 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 So, Dorothy, let's go to a break now, because when we come back, I definitely want to talk about ways in which we can make ourselves receptive to somebody's dire situation. And as we saw, our president was not doing such a good job at last week. But it has to do really with our nervous system. I just was privy to a wonderful speech on the vagus nerve and some activities, some ways that we can sort of quite literally get that cooperation muscle engaged. So when we come back, I'm going to share some of that with our listeners. We'll be right back.
Okay, great.
To find answers to life's questions, you need to look within yourself. Dr. Glenna Rice brings your questionable conversations on Transformation Talk Radio each month. Tune in each month for insight into how you can live up to your full potential. Dr. Glenna is a physical therapist, certified Access Consciousness, and Access Body Class facilitator. How does it get any better than this? For more information on Dr. Glenna Rice and her work, visit glennarice.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Practice living in wholeness with the Body Tune-Up. 6 classes for $89 designed for radical self-healing and self-regeneration. Heal the deepest root of any challenge. The mental body was programmed in negativity, not good enough, separate from source, you're too much, you'll never make it. The emotional body holds all the pain and trauma of emotional suppression, all the pain from this life and life's past. The spiritual body is the place you connect with your higher power, your higher self, with the image and likeness of the One. The physical body houses and expresses the other three bodies every day. Go to CorneliaStephanie.com. Evolve, become a practitioner. We need to heal, integrate, and bring into wholeness and harmony the physical body, addressing all the other bodies in order to live in our true, authentic nature.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Welcome back, listeners. We're continuing our conversation on cooperation. Dorothy, do you want to lead off this segment?
Sure. In terms of, you know, how we strengthen our cooperation muscle, to me, one of the most critical practices is walking in another person's shoes. You know, I mean, you can do this in so many ways. I live in an environment where I need to take the ferry back and forth to the mainland, and I'm sitting in ferry lines, and I can look at people around me, and I can, you know, watch what it is that they're dealing with or struggling with, if it's parents with small children that are restless and whatever, and try to imagine myself into their lives, into what it is that they're dealing with, what it is that they're trying to achieve. And I think another really critical part that we've talked about before on this show, Steve, is language. How we talk about someone else. Do we talk about someone as though they are someone we care about, as though they are someone that we respect? Or do we call them names? Do we use language that basically labels them as though they are inhuman or someone to be despised or looked down on? So these are a couple of the things that are so critical. And then the whole practice of appreciative inquiry, where you sit with persons who are different from yourself, whether it's in terms of spiritual practice or political views or whatever it is, and you really listen to each other's concerns and priorities without judging, but with the simple purpose of understanding and feeling your way into why they feel the way they do, what's important to them.
Mm. Having a sense of curiosity, I find that is, if you can generate that, and it's so helpful to just go be in nature because nature is so dynamic and interesting. But then to take that into the human arena and just be curious about another, wonder, you know, and allow them to express and be who they are and just take it all in as a sort of a new adventure. I find that curiosity and wonder are right up there close to the experience of joy. You know, there's just this, there's this beautiful openness when we are curious about another, and you can feel the contraction when we, when we're critical of another, or we don't understand, and that not understanding just makes us want to kind of, you know, challenge them because it's different than us. You know, you can really feel how that is contractive and separative. Whereas if you just move toward being interested, being curious, having a sense of wonder, immediately you feel you become more cooperative, you know, in every level, in every way. It takes me to that, the vagus nerve, which is what I wanted to just share for a minute. There are two aspects to our nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system. And one is the fight or flight. And that is when we're reactive, when we're actually in resistance. And that's that contractive mode. And we're not going to cooperate so much when we're in fight or flight. The areas of the brain really just have ourselves in mind. We become this like survival machine. The brain becomes a very predictive, and everything, every action is me-centered. What's going to keep me surviving? When we are using our parasympathetic nervous system, we are in rest or digest mode. That's when we're sleeping, when we're eating. We are open and receptive. Things are getting in. And it's the vagus nerve. So I listened to a wonderful talk about the vagus nerve and ways in which we can activate or engage that aspect of our nervous system that allows us to be more cooperative, more open to another. And some of them are very simple. Certainly meditation is one of those, and I could go on about that, but there are very simple ones, like just a very long extended exhale. To breathe in and then really extend your exhale, it engages this vagus nerve, and it just makes you more open and receptive and thus cooperative. To even say an ah, to extend the ah and say it out loud, it actually makes us calmer and again engages that vagus nerve. Yawning is also a release. You know, when you're stressed, if you sort of tap into that and you yawn, it releases energy. If you slowly rotate, if you're sitting now, you could even try it, like slowly rotating at your trunk and looking over one shoulder and then with a nice breath looking over the other shoulder, the vagus nerve is right in the middle of your spine at the area of your trunk. There's a lot of the plexus of the nerve, the plexi, come together there, and that helps engage it. Singing along with another song, trying to sing a melody with a song, it's called prosody. It actually will help you become more cooperative because you're in training with your voice, with a harmony of another. We become more harmonious. So to actually find that so interesting, that if we actually practice singing in harmony with a song, finding a melody and singing along with it, we're going to just generally go out in the day and be more cooperative. Isn't that fun?
That is. It's quite interesting. I never thought of that, Steve. Thank you for sharing that.
Right? To just sing along with a song, because this nerve, the vagus nerve, goes right down on the other side of our pharynx and our larynx. And as we sing, as we talk, and if we do it in a tone that is cooperative, that is in harmony, we actually will be more open and receptive in our day-to-day. So just simple things like that can work change your attitude, change your day.
That's great. You have me yawning, though, and that's not terribly helpful in terms of trying to focus and talk. But these are great ideas, Steve. Thank you so much.
Well, it's been a wonderful month, Dorothy. We have to wrap it up. We just have a couple of minutes left. I wondered if there's any highlights, you know, from this month that maybe come to mind to share for a minute or two.
Well, to me, the most critical thing is recognizing that our base state is cooperative, not competitive.
Yes.
We may be reinforced to be competitive, to be critical, you know, to act in ways that put our own needs above those of others. But that's not actually who we are. And if we remember that we are all interconnected, that whatever we do to someone else, we're really doing to ourselves, I think that will help us relax into a cooperative state, which is our natural state.
Yes, it is namaste, correct? Which is, I see the light in you. So working towards seeing yourself in others and seeing others in yourself takes us, you know, such a long way toward being human in its truest form. We mentioned so many times, Darwin, you know, that the survival of the fittest is really not about power. It's not about strength. It is about the ability to adapt and the ability to cooperate. And that actually is what will take us far along this path of not only survival, because sometimes it feels like we're getting close to the edge of that, but just working toward a creative future and toward you know, that expansion of what it means and what it feels like, what is the human experience, that it stays expansive and continues to evolve.
And to me, this is, you know, we've now finished off the seven principles that we're going to cover. And we're in a really good position for next month, when we're going to be talking about what does it mean to be a cosmic citizen, to be part of this cosmic energy field, and how is it that we strengthen that moral compass, which is what allows us to be a good citizen in this collective sense.
Put these principles into motion, into play. I look forward
That's
to
right.
it. Yes. Well, we do hope you'll join us next month, December, a brand new month, a brand new topic. And, you know, if you'd like to listen to any of our archives, certainly you can go to spiritfireradio.com or to our host network, which is Transformation Talk Radio. Lots of juicy stuff there. Whole season and a half we've got going, Dorothy. Thank you so much, as always, and thank you, listeners, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.